What's up, everyone? I'm Bianca Torres. We're here with Apartment 5H again. We're here with Jim's World.
Yo.
And we have some very special guests. We have Ray Daniels in the building. He's back.
I'm back. I'll tell myself I want my headphone.
He owes me some headphones.
He owes me some...
Good luck.
Because of Plies. Yes. You might say I like Plies.
Yes. Pause.
There we go.
Good luck with that, but we'll send a message.
Every time I see him, I know I owe something now. That's my thing.
Pause. Right.
I'm ready. And we have the Pause Police as well.
I'm dead.
And then we have Obi here.
What's up?
And Eddie.
Oh, no, y'all.
How's everyone doing today?
Good, how are you?
Here. Yeah?
Thank you for having us.
Of course. How long y'all been in town?
A couple days. A day? 36 hours?
Like three, it feels like 5 days.
Even honestly.
Y'all be on the move.
That's how you know you're working hard.
Yeah. So you guys have been promoting Off the Top Freestyle?
Yes.
What is going on? Because you dipping your toes back in music? What's going on? the baby toe?
Kind of.
Okay.
Eddie is a great friend. Introduced me to Obi. Obi was breaking down everything he was doing. And, you know, 7 million users, 200,000 barbers. And it's like, man, the culture need to know about you.
So tell us about this platform.
This platform. Yes, because it's bigger than just an app.
It's bigger than just an app.
But we do have an app.
Okay.
7 million people around the country have downloaded. And why? Because we are the best place to find a barber around the country. So anyone here could download the app, find a barber here in New York, in Atlanta, DC, doesn't matter. We got barbers all around the country. You can book, pay, and tip your barber. And I mean, that's what we do. And we figured it'd be a great opportunity to marry barbershop culture and music, since it's so intertwined already.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie introduced me to Ray. He started talking, and here we are.
Triple threat over here for the cut.
You know what I mean?
Okay. So, do you find that, like, so you have 7 million users. I'm not saying I'm surprised. I just think that, you know, men don't cheat on their barbers. So, I'm a little surprised.
Right.
Because usually I would imagine they get a cut or whatever they got to do before they hop. They cheat on their wives, but not their barbers.
You said that earlier. But
so,
even if they have a barber, you still want to get...
In and out of the shop.
In and out. It's like, I don't want to come in at 8. Like, if I booked at 8, now we... So sometimes I call you, hey, bro, 8. No, you said 7. No, I said 8. The app is right there.
Exactly.
Book it.
Okay.
Right.
So it's not just about discovery. It's about like me knowing you got an appointment at 4. When I show up at 4, I'm in a chair. I'm not waiting hours in the shop. Like, I don't need to worry about running to the ATM to get cash. I can pay through the app. So those are the other reasons why people use it beyond just discovery.
Okay.
But when you put them all together, like you said, a triple threat.
Yeah.
Okay. And how long has the cut been up and running?
You just turned 9 not too long ago.
9 years?
It's crazy, right?
Crazy, right?
Wow.
I'm a teenager.
So why now are you choosing to, like, you know, I know you're on a press run, you're promoting the app, but why now?
Well, here's how it goes. Eddie, great friend of mine, shout out to Eddie the Mogul. I usually shout him out off camera, but he's on camera, so we got my boy Eddie here. Eddie comes to me and tells me about the cut. I'm like, oh, that's fire. Like, I heard of it. I've heard of these kind of apps. And then I met Obi. And I was like, oh, you know, you like us. Like, you cool. Like, so then it was like, let's figure out what we could do. And then I was like, let's make a splash. So bars in the barbershop. That was kind of where it came from, like bars in the barbershop. The barbershop is a place where we all go as men to feel safe, to voice our opinion. I've never seen someone get canceled from a barbershop because they said something crazy. You know, it's our culture. So, you know, the whole concept was, let's find a way to, and then not only that, you know, in our business, it's like lyricists matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what better way to have a 60 to 90 second commercial or someone rapping about your brand, then put it in the middle of a contest. And now whoever's the best is going to get some money and going to get some exposure. And it's some good stuff going on right now.
Okay. So what are you looking for in the winner?
Well, I'll tell you what I was looking for. My thing is, obviously, I'm a music exec. I've been in it for a very long time. But my thing is that I'm tired of young people thinking that they have to rap about what the world is and not rap about what their world is. Mm. Right, so it's funny because a kid came in to the office to one of the auditions. I'm sorry, and he had on a college shirt, but he was rapping about street stuff, and I was like, "This is the point of that." And what I was telling Obi, I'm like, "I want to hear someone that makes me feel like I know them in that 90 seconds."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not gonna lie to you, it was a couple of people. New York showed out. It was a couple of people. It was one kid who, I'm not gonna lie, Bianca, he was like, I think I had a tear coming out of my eye because he was like, my mama, family is fucked. And he was like, and I'm feeding my daughter. And it was like, That's what this is about. Mm. Tell the truth. Stop going out there rapping about what you don't have.
Right. Mm.
Tell us who you are. You know, so that's what makes me excited. Somebody that just gives a real story. Someone that you can see. You can see. Everybody in this room can see. And you guys want to share it to your people because you're happy this person won. But you like, listen to what this kid just said. Right. And to me, that's what we're looking for. That's what I was looking for as a judge. Obi's a judge too, so Obi's way more critical than I. Obi's way more critical than I.
Call me Simon Cowell, it feels crazy.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, I think it wasn't that I was trying to be overly critical. I was just trying to make sure we got a good balance.
Yes.
You know, because like, to your point, I feel like people get away with saying a lot.
Yeah.
And I was trying, if anything, I was trying to have a little bit more of a ear. Yeah, a little bit more of a ear.
No, but listen.
More substance.
To each his own, but it was good. New York was great, and I'm looking forward to it.
Obi was like, I don't like the way he used the cut. I'm going to give him
That's part of it, though.
But we said that.
They had to incorporate the cut.
That's the only criteria in your rap.
Okay.
So the three categories we judged on. It was your bars.
Mm-hmm.
It was your creativity in mentioning the cut. And it was like your stage presence, like in front of us. So for me, to their point, like on the cut part, I'm a little more critical. I mean, obviously, my thing was like, I just wanted you to really get in your bag. Like, if you mentioned us, all right, cool.
But some people made it a part of. Some people made it a part of their flow.
Like, then you really got. Then some people might say,
"Yeah, I got it in the cut." But some people was like, "I'm on a cut app, getting my like." It was just like, how you use it tells us what kind of an MC you really are.
Right.
And when do you think like the marriage between music and barbershop culture like started?
Well, I'll tell you this. When I started being in the music business, I remember coming up in the music business, you know, like when you go to DC, New York, you know, Philly, you know, usually it's a hot barbershop on that itinerary.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're going to stop at this barbershop at this hood and talk to these people. So I think it's always been integrated. I think that the internet has made us think all you got to do is put the phone up and put it out and people are fine. And to me, like, even with this, it was like, we could have easily said, hey, here's what we're doing. Upload your video, tag such and such. But it was like, nah. Like, let's see the people, see the CEO of this company, right? Let's see people see, we got Mav Hoffa, see myself, like see us in the room showing that we care.
Right.
Right.
Get the best out of people.
And from our side, it was more so like, he always says like, we want to make sure the culture is seen on our app because that's one of the main advantages of the cut. Right, we are a part of the culture. We look like the culture. We come from the culture. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how can we infuse that? And the first person I thought was like, culture referee. It makes sense, right? It's like, let's get Ray and let's come up with something dope that just expands, like, and pretty much can transcend what is already existing, right? Freestyles exist, so many different freestyle platforms, but how can we make it unique? How can we do something that's not being done before, like done now currently, and how can we use it to just catapult the culture and also catapult music and bring it back to where it started within the barbershops.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's dope. Are y'all putting like seasoned veterans on it or is just
anybody
new people?
Can come.
Open application. Anybody can apply.
It was some New York people who...
Wait, are we talking about the app or are we talking about the freestyle?
Like the freestyle part of it.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it was some people who got close in New York that's like, I'm driving to D.C. I'm coming to get this money. Like, there's no criteria. You just got to just be in the city and, you know, come with it.
Oh, that's crazy. That's
Do you think, because the music industry is like really suffering right now. It is. No, it is. I mean.
You're right. You're
Ray
not wrong.
Called it 2 years ago. Let me just say that.
Yeah, but you're right. But that's kind of why we wanted to do this. It was like, you know, like it's like in the world of like hip hop was built off the pillar of being an MC. Right. Being able to say something, being able to influence somebody. And I feel like we've gotten to this place where it's just, you know, like murder rap, I sold drugs, my ops is the enemy, and it's all about me. And, you know, I grew up in an industry, I grew up in the game when rap was out where it was inclusive of us. Like, it was like I remember being a kid hearing Self-Destruction where it was like, we ain't selling drugs, you know? Like, and then it got to the place where now the drug dealers run the business. It's just different. So for me, it was like, you know, obviously that's the game, that's where it is, and you know, we could sit around like some old guys and complain about where it is, or we could do something about it. And this is kind of a form of that, like bars. Who got the flow? And I'm not gonna lie to you, like even myself as a person who's known for the hits, right? Like, I think we got the number one global song in the world right now, right? But it's like, that's cool, but that's not culture. That's not us. It's a great song, but it's not us. It's like, dog, I remember the first time I heard this album is dedicated to all the people that told me I would never amount to nothing. For all the people that called the police on me while I was just trying to make money to feed my daughter.
Right.
He humanized the drug dealer. Humanized the drug dealer. He humanized himself. It wasn't like we don't do bad shit, but now we're doing bad shit to be bad. When we said we were doing bad shit to get out.
Right.
Now we want to do bad shit to go in.
Bad is
so
cool,
for me,
man.
It's like, how can we give our culture, like with three black men, Matthew and I has four of us, Chastity also, like it's all of us, how can we give our culture something to be proud of, something to share that is more motivating, right? It's like, put a light on somebody. Like I'm telling you, like it was one kid in New York. He came with like every bar was about a barber thing. Like, the whole flow was catered to barber.
Yes,
so it was like, I would say his name. When he came though, oh, that's your man. I forgot you barber.
Cashflow Harlem. Yeah.
Oh, that's my man. Yeah. He from 155th.
Yo, when he came in, when y'all see his. Like, it's like, come
that was
on.
When we, all of us, on our edge of our seats, like, oh, yeah.
Because he included he rapped about everybody in the room. So, for me, you know, growing up, like, it feels like, I'm not being funny now, but, like, do people, like, these young rappers, like, the little babies of the world, who I fuck with, the Travis, like, do these guys really care about being known as a superior MC?
No.
So it's like the MC has gotten lost in the money. Right? No, don't get me wrong.
Yes.
If you can make the money, you can make the money. But what I'm saying is like, Jay-Z, as rich as he is, he still wants to know he's in your top something. Mm-hmm. And these new kids don't care about being in top. It's like, we're not trying to compete we're not trying to beat Jordan. We're not trying to pop LeBron. We're just trying to make enough money to get in the league. And it's like, it's so much more to it. And I feel like this is really shining the light on it to the point where we got people hitting us like, come to Houston, come to this, come here. And it's like, yeah. Line of people that just got something to say. Mm. Not just want to come in just to get some money, but it's like, can you say something that moves the room? Mm-hmm. Right. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, what's your verse? What's your that? So, man, it's been really, really dope. And I got to give OB props because he believed in it and we're here doing it. And, I mean, I couldn't be, like, it's like, for us it's exciting, but watching them.
Yeah,
like, watching them hang out. Like, they hung out. Like, after it was all dope, they was hanging out. Like,
they made a group chat.
A whole cypher outside. Yeah. They started just spinning like we was in the 90s or something. It was crazy.
And let's be clear. Everybody in this room, in order to become successful, had to find like-minded people.
Definitely.
And this is we're creating a community of MCs. And literally, we got, like, they're going to be able to perform the song on Sirius XM. They gave us that today, right? We're going to do a Jiggy Jones show. He gave us that today. They can perform on Part 4-8. I'm about to say Apartment 4B because that's a restaurant in Atlanta. But and we can, but like for us, this is about exposure. This is about exposing our culture to what we really are.
Right.
Which is humans going through human things, not everybody bragging on how big a superhero they are and how much money they got and how they better than everybody. It's like you're not feeding the kids. Like I grew up listening to Pac. I grew up listening to Big. I grew up listening to these guys who was like, my father wasn't around. So these guys was like father figures. And as much as they gave me the money, cash, hoes, they also gave you the game to win. And for me, us pushing lyrics to the forefront, it's going to be really special for the culture. Like, I'm really excited about it.
That's right.
I think that's been happening lately, though. I feel like the music and even like the rappers that are coming out now, within the last, I would say, even like 7 months, I feel like we finally hit the wall where all this other bullshit rap is like, everyone's tired of it.
Yep. Yeah.
I think rap with music with substance is making a comeback. And I don't think that we ever thought it would because we were so knee-deep in the bullshit. And listen, and I love the bullshit. Yeah. Like,
it's great.
No, I do. I love the bullshit.
But we love candy, bro. Candy is great, but we need our vegetables.
But we do need a balance.
We need our protein.
We do need a balance.
I mean, it's just as simple as that. Like, it's like you need the balance of all of it.
Do you see? I that's what I see. Do you see that, too?
I see it. I see it coming because, I don't want to get into this, but I think that there was a direct design to kill hip-hop. Like, all of our artists are in jail. Like, think about it. Like, it's been Ja Morant is just hitting the shot. Pop, pop. Before that was like, hey, got you. Now they're like, nope.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's an attack on culture.
It's an attack on black culture because so many young white kids are obsessed with it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And these parents are like, fuck that. We got to take them down. So, dog, think about it. Like, rappers are being taken down by the RICO like the mob was taken down by the RICO. Right?
We were talking about that with K-Camp. K-Camp was here a few weeks ago. Yeah. And then we were talking about how the way that they're going at these Atlanta rappers is reminiscent of the hip-hop police in the 90s in New York City.
But see, here's the thing. The hip-hop police had to catch you because you were doing petty crimes. Mm-hmm. It was like, there's too much money flowing out. So now you're making $100 million a year. You're giving this nigga $2 million and he's a terror on the community. Right. You're giving this dude this and he's a terror and this terror. So, like, the rappers have become the new mob bosses. So, you know, like, for me, it's like, for me, it's like, you know, as someone that's been in it, that understands it, that's an elder statesman in it, I understand that I can't preach to you about what you're doing wrong unless I'm presenting another option.
Another way, yeah.
So for me, it's like, I want to post this and I want them to see it and be like, yo, homeboy was hard. Yo, where this kid at? Like, the greatest... I'm sorry, pause. I'm sorry, I forgot to pause.
No, it's good.
the greatest thing that can happen to this outside of someone making $10,000, you know, and this economy is the exposure you get from it. Right. The exposure they're going to get from people having to listen to you to vote. Mm. Having to listen. Like, yo, go listen. Tell us what three y'all like the best. One, two, or three. Like, getting people to engage. So I'm really excited about that part. I'm excited about doing something different for our culture that's not the same old shit. And I got to shout out Eddie and Obi because if this is something I've been wanting to do, but now we're doing it, and now it's like bars, barbershop, who got the... It's just dope, man. It's just... Dog, it's like we forgot who we were. We forgot who we were, bro. Like, we was the motherfuckers you gave nothing to, and we came back with something. Now we acting like we need something to be somebody. Right. It's not on you, it's in you. And I'm just trying to... So for us, it's like, let's put...
Sorry.
That could have been a woman I was talking to, but I got you. I got you.
That part.
Yeah, we go through this every episode. Every episode.
Let's go. I love it. I remember being here. Let's get it. I ain't thinking enough about what I'm saying, so I'm like, let me...
No, don't mind me.
Fuck with you. Fuck with you.
So, like, in addition to music, barbershop is synonymous with, like, barbershop talk.
Yep.
So I want to know... Well, this is more, like, your link. Yeah, I want to know, like, what was, like, the craziest barbershop conversation that you've had?
I got one.
Uh-huh. You got one? Oh, okay.
Yeah. I just want to say I'm from the Bronx, so we don't do this in the Bronx. But in Harlem, I was in a shop one time in Harlem, and they was talking about... So apparently, being in Harlem, you know, it's a thing when, I guess, when they get burnt or whatever the case, STDs.
This
was somebody that they call...
You said it was a great conversation.
Yeah, no, go on.
No, but listen, they don't got to go to the doctor. The barber had a number for somebody who had the prescription for what they needed.
I'm dead.
Yeah, that was crazy. That's the craziest thing I ever seen.
Oh, wow.
I've never seen no shit like that anywhere else.
I mean, barbers do be the plug in the city.
No, who's
crazy?
They are
everybody.
They are networked. They know everybody.
All right, call him. He got you. You're going to bring it right now. You got
to
go to the doctor.
They used to have a spot on 125th like that. They give you penicillin and all that shit.
Harlem.
But it's on 125th.
Harlem.
A spot or a barbershop that had penicillin?
It's like an under the table doctor. He got penicillin. Whatever's wrong with you, he gonna give it to you without having a prescription.
I'm from the Bronx. I'm just saying.
I'm from the Bronx too.
But that happened in Harlem. That was a real thing.
Okay.
So wait, are y'all going from barbershop to barbershop, or is it just
three different shops? A shop here in New York, a shop in DC, and then a shop in Atlanta.
Yep.
Oh, that's crazy.
DMV, Atlanta, and New York.
That's crazy.
I mean, barbershops, it is a staple in hip-hop. Because even you, like, we were talking, what was it, last Friday, and he was just in the barbershop just watching podcasts. Like,
the barbershop is where you go to feel. It's the only place you go to hang out and nobody's looking at you like, what you doing here?
I could tell my barber anything. I've been going to the same barbershop for 20 years.
My barber's my best friend, so we, like, literally, no matter what, like, it's just a good culture, man. It's like, we got to get back to that. Like, community, fellowship, talking to each other, supporting each other. That's the goal.
How you feel about streaming? You feel like the streaming is messing up, like, the hip-hop?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, bro. Like, I'm not even the type of person that cares or focuses on anything that I can't think hop my way out of it.
Right.
Streaming is here to stay. It's like saying, man, what about being black? Like, what you think you can do about that? I'm like, I don't know. I got to stick with it, you know? Like, so streaming to me is like, complaining about streaming is like, complaining about being black to me. It's like, it's here, it ain't going nowhere. It's the game. So, like I said, I'm not a complainer. That's not who my natural state is. My natural state is to fix. So, like, I can't even focus on something that so above. It's like, dog, what's the option? The option is either you stream or you don't. And streaming is where everybody's at.
Right. It's kind of like complaining about the algorithm. Yeah. You can't do nothing to fix it. You got to go with it. Yep. You got to figure it out and figure out what works for you and just keep going.
Yep. Right. Same here.
Yeah. That's crazy. I feel like a lot of good artists get overlooked because of the streaming shit. But that's a good...
Well, that's what I'm saying. So it's like... So now the answer to that. So if you look at it from the artist standpoint, my thought process is that you have to turn yourself into a 360 model, right? So it's like the best way to describe it is like, here's this picture of
A Boogie,
right? Like, that's a picture. I could see it. It's him and everything. But it's like taking him out the picture and putting him on the table. Mm. Now, what kind of shoes does he have on? What kind of clothes does he have on? What kind of hat does he wear? How can I turn him into a 360 model that I can sell things to everybody? So if you're trying to get millions of streams and you're very niche, you should be focused on getting activating 1,000 to 2,000 people to be your audience and make money like that. So it's like, y'all gonna stream my music, but you gonna buy a piece of merch too. You gonna buy this, you gonna buy a ticket too. So the object is trying to figure out how to get people in your audience or whoever likes you to turn into a super fan and spend at least $100 a year. Because if you can get 1,000 people to spend $100 on you a year, that's $100,000 you made a year. If you can get 2,000 people to spend $100 a year on you, that's $200,000. So the object to me is how can you get one person to give you $100 rather than trying to get one person to stream your song 100 times?
Mm.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
That was a hell of a way to look at it.
But that's how
if I'm looking at it through the eyes of the artist, though, if I'm looking at it through the eyes of the game, it's like, hey, that's the game. But through the artist...
You have to build those alternative streams of income because you're not getting the money from streaming, so you really have to build that brand with that community, and then they'll carry you beyond.
Yep, exactly. Same here.
Is there anyone that you see becoming a superstar? I feel like even a few years ago, it was easier. So and listen, and this is me coming
go,
from,
B.
and this is me coming from my expertise, right? Yep. Like it was my job every year to forecast who was gonna be the next, you know, rapper, you know, superstar, not just a superstar.
Okay.
I kind of feel like lately it's been harder to be able to be like, that person's gonna be a star.
You know why?
Why?
Because the money is coming in too fast. So I was interviewing Bryce Wilson from Groove Theory. Right? Mm. Everybody know the record, Tell Me What You... So I asked him, I said, what was the biggest year y'all did? He said, I think it was $2 million total for us. Think about that. If they were making a hit in 2025, they'll be making $2 million a month.
Right.
Mm. Because of the money be flowing. Mm. So now, what's next? It's like if I met you on the first date, we got married. What the fuck am I doing on the second date?
Right.
What am I doing on the third day? Like, we got married already. So I think a lot of the problems, and that was kind of what frustrated me as being an executive, is that I'm giving these kids more money than me. Mm. And now I'm expecting them to listen to me? They looking at me like, nigga, I did my own way. You just gave me a check. Well, I'm going to listen to you. So I think the biggest problem is that, listen, man, if you give someone something, if you spoil your kids without giving them a lesson, you just made some terrible people. Humans is going to make the world bad. I'm not saying don't give your kids everything they want, but every time you give them something, there needs to be a lesson. And what's happening in music right now is you just made a song. You made a song dissing your ops. Mm-hmm. It goes crazy over the last 7 days. So crazy that labels is calling now. Now they want to give you $1.5 million. You was just broke. Now you got $1.5 million. What you going to do when you get that $1.5 million?
Feed it to the block.
Mm. You're going to go right back to the hood.
Right.
Buy some more guns.
So guess what? Exactly. Right. Right back to the hood. So that's what's really happening. There's too much money flowing. It's too much people being rewarded without the work of being a superstar. That's why we don't have any more superstars. I think stars can be made. Hmm. A label can make a star. A label can't make a superstar. So I get like Chingy was a star.
Yeah.
He wasn't a superstar. A superstar is about you. A star is about the machine.
Mm.
The machine can make, if you a good looking dude and they put you on TV, they gonna see you good looking. It's like they gotta tell you, he's handsome, you know, they're gonna see that. So to me, it's like a star is what, to me, the bar for now. Superstar.
You don't see one.
When last time we had one of those? A superstar is built
in
behind.
In hip-hop?
A superstar is built behind, Travis is probably the most recent superstar in hip-hop.
And see what happened.
What's her name? Sexy Red is a star. Gorilla, star.
Dolce?
Star.
Star.
Mm. They're trying to turn us.
Superstar is household name. Drake is a superstar. I'm going to say Kendrick just probably really became a superstar from the Drake beef. He was just a really talented star. Superstar is when it doesn't matter.
Nicki might be a superstar.
Absolutely, Nicki's a superstar. Yeah,
but
Nicki
Travis Scott
came out way before Travis. Yeah. I said, who? Like, who's a soup? Like, the biggest soup, the newest superstar is probably Kendrick and SZA. Superstar? Hell yeah.
SZA's
yeah,
a superstar.
For sure.
I think she can get a little more credit. A little more.
No. But here's what I'm saying, though. The credit comes from the audience.
Right.
The credit, most people think the credit comes from demanding it. Give me my credit. No, the credit comes from the audience. Once you go to selling out stadiums, like as big as Drake is, he's never sold out a stadium.
Right.
Wait, but you said
no?
Kendrick no, is never. The superstar?
Never.
Kendrick, I think, just became a superstar. To me, here's what I said. To me, a superstar.
I don't like that though, because he became a superstar off of hate.
No. He became a superstar of talent.
It was based off of hate.
No, it was based off talent.
His talent was showcased because of
Drake,
hate.
Drake helped.
No,
helped.
It was showcased. No,
come on.
No, hear me out.
But I do.
Hear me out. Okay, listen. If he did a diss song against Oprah, it doesn't work. If he did a diss song against Beyonce, it doesn't work. He did a diss song against people that, a person that obviously people wanted someone to take down. Mm-hmm. So it was the talent that made him there. He attacked the right person.
No, you know listen, Pastor Troy he's is? Talented. No, yes.
Okay, so how did Pastor Troy get on? He dissed Master P. Ain't no play in GA. Right? You can only run that trick once, you know? Like Kendrick turned it into a fucking 2-year run.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
To me, that's what made him become a superstar. He was always rap elite. Yeah. He was always star elite.
He was.
Superstar is when you don't become a giant unless you kill one.
How did 50 Cent become a superstar?
He killed the giant. He killed Ja Rule.
He did.
And Irv Gotti.
He
and
did.
Everybody
went
great.
That's a valid point. You're the first person to make that point.
Is Cole a superstar yet?
I think Cole is a superstar. But I think he's a superstar because of his audience, not because of him.
That's the audience.
Die Hard. Cole Hive is crazy.
I think that's right.
It's not
him,
though.
He's not out there.
He doesn't even work hard enough to be called a superstar.
Yeah.
I think
he works hard at not working hard.
That's my point. That's what drives his audience.
Yes.
And that's what makes them come. So yes. Much that we make him a superstar.
You know why?
We give him that whole
Literally, Drake went on tour with J. Cole just to do the B markets, the Birmingham, Alabamas,
right.
the Baton Rouge, the markets that Drake wouldn't hit because it's just not enough for him.
Durham.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Durham. Like, so
you became a J. Cole fan because of his mixtapes during that time. Like, it's very few people who became a J. Cole fan in the last 5 years.
But a fan is different. A fan, having fans does not make you a superstar. I think that I have fans. I think we all have fans. Like, there's people that run up and like, y'all a fan.
I like to think something. I'm just joking.
No, for real. But that doesn't mean that we are a superstar. Superstar is when you reach that. To me, a superstar is someone that doesn't go back.
A superstar is like, no matter where you go, you're recognized.
That's no disrespect to Chingy, but that's why I referenced him, because he was hot at one point where he probably could have sold out an arena.
Nelly, superstar.
Nelly is a superstar.
But here's the thing, though. To me, from a brand perspective, because you talk in the music, is that from a brand perspective, I look at it as who can move products outside of music.
Well, here's the thing.
Nelly can move.
I'm going to challenge you, though.
Whole wave.
Beyonce can't sell products to save her life.
Drake can't either.
But Rihanna can't.
How many people wearing
Beyonce literally tried to sell us how many different clothing lines? And then now she's just a model for Levi's and is helping for Levi's. I don't think that. Mm. I don't think they're going to buy. I think a superstar is more about the story. The superstar is the story, like
Rihanna.
Rihanna's superstar. A superstar,
absolutely.
But she's also
moves products.
But that's what makes her a superstar.
Anything attached to her.
So is the Kardashian, like Kylie and them with the lipstick.
Superstars.
Okay.
Listen. They superstars.
Right. For sure.
But listen, they're superstars in their field.
Right.
And that's what makes it work. Mm. But I'm just saying, like, it's like me right now, right? Like, obviously, you know, we was filming, but like, I just had a problem. Like, I just got sick and had to throw up. A star would have said, I got enough money in the bank. Chassie, all the work has been done. Can I go home now?
Right.
Mm-hmm. A superstar is like, bitch, I'm straight. Get on the camera. Let's go. It's not about money. It's about you. It's about you making sure the world know I'm here and I ain't never going away. It's a different, I've been in a room with them. When you're in a room with them, 2 Chainz is a superstar. 2 Chainz was unhappy when he was signed to DTP. Every time he come around, he was pissed. You know, he was pissed because he felt like they ain't see him. Now you see 2 Chainz every day smiling. Why? Because they see him. Superstars are not happy.
He ain't Titty Boy no
until
more.
Until they acknowledge that as a great boy. For what they doing.
It's funny you say that because I feel like the only person I've been around that's a superstar is Cardi B.
Cardi B.
She's a superstar.
Star.
From day one, she put in the work. Her work ethic spoke for itself. Like, I'm talking about every day, this is what she was destined to do.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what we have lined up. Doesn't matter what the schedule looked like. She was there. She's going to show up and she's going to be her. She's going to kill it every time.
And let me tell you something. A superstar does that.
Yeah.
No matter how much money is in the bank.
That is true. Mm.
A star will say, I got a couple million in the bank. I could chill.
Yeah.
A superstar, I don't give a fuck about that money. Nigga, I'm gonna show these, like, that's how superstars are. It's a different. Kanye West is a fucking superstar. They don't give me an award, I'm cursing everybody out. Like, that's, like, I want you guys to see me.
And he can sell some shit.
Yeah.
Mr. West. You know. Prayers out.
Did that nigga say he was giving? Oh.
Nah, yeah.
I mean, go ahead, he did.
That was wild.
That's real?
Yeah.
Yes.
That, I've been knowing about that. Like, I've heard
really?
That. Really? Oh, yeah. That.
He might lose on this one.
Nah.
Giving head to his cousin till he's 14 is nuts.
So, no, I mean, it explains his behavior.
So what if I told y'all this? The people, there were people in closed doors who knew that, who was weaponizing that against them. That's how I found out.
That's disgusting.
Because somebody was like, yo, you know such and such and such and such. Yeah, he's really holding this little secret over Ye head against him because he did this. And I was like, what?
That's why he always said that he didn't have nobody in his corner you could trust.
Because everybody was using him. But Kanye, to me, is the person. What makes Kanye a superstar is his transparency.
Oh, I don't like it.
You don't like Kanye?
No, I love Kanye.
Oh, what's
I don't like this.
Oh, let's talk about something else.
No. No, we can talk about it. I'm just saying.
It's the 8-mile
thing. Jim, like, shut up.
Yeah. But
here's what I'm saying, though. Okay, so I'll say this to you. As much as we have to, as my opinion, as men, especially black men, we have to stop being so quick to judge because we weren't in the scenario. Because as much as we can say, think about what you're saying right now, just for a second. Right. Like, yo, oh boy, bugging, he went too far. Now imagine if there's a kid in that scenario right now. Now he's like, I'm not telling nobody.
Exactly. I feel like he tricked us though. Like,
that might have been true.
Like, why bring it out now? You should have been said it. Like,
he's using it to manipulate us.
Like, I'm a fan, but now you're telling me something about you that I maybe not have been a fan of.
Or is he doing that because now a lot of people are against him?
And now he's like, instead of y'all. And now, because imagine, it could be people, because the person who I knew was shaking him down, he is a Jewish man. Because there could have been people who was holding him down, and he could have been like, I'm like, hey, don't want that secret out. So right. Now.
It's the 8-mile shit.
Yeah, it's the 8-mile shit. Like, I'm going to tell myself.
I'm about myself.
So as much as he might be ashamed of it and he might not like it, our truth is our truth. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times we shame our truth. Meanwhile, other people are living it and they feel alone in it. And the reality is, that's why I like this contest, because it's like, no, nigga, tell us the truth.
Right. Give us your story.
Tell us what you're really going through. Like, I didn't become confident in myself until I was broke. Let me tell you why. Because I was broke 2003, 2004. I'll never forget. I was homeless that whole time. And I remember, you know, young man, I'm 21, 22. I'm trying to get broads. I ain't going to tell you I'm broke. I'm making sure I got a dream.
Right?
Because I do, by the way. Mm-hmm. But I led with my highs, right? And then one day I was just like, man, I'm tired of this shit. So I just told you, I'm broke. I can't do nothing for you. And they loved me. And they started liking me more, right?
I do that
and
it was shit.
Like, he's so real.
I do that shit every day.
He's so real.
Bruh. And that's what I'm trying to tell. Like, just be yourself. Mm-hmm. The world is looking for true. In the world of millions of people and the algorithm pushing us, we're looking for people that we personally can connect with, that I can say, this person is the person I'm going to follow. Mm. And that whatever that person puts in the world, I want to hear it because they're feeding me something that I need for me. That's kind of how I built my whole career. Like, I'm going to get on camera and talk. And if I give you value, then in return, you follow whatever it is. But it's all about just, you know, doing it the right way and giving. That's what I'm about, man. Like, it's like, I'm so proud of this because of what we saw it to be. Going into it is a dope concept.
Yeah.
But once you get there and it was like 4 people, I was like, bro. Like, literally, since we've been here, Chassie has literally said, man, I hope nobody in New York or D.C., Atlanta is better than those 2 kids because they, and I'm like, well, they're like, what if it's my better? She's like, I just want them to win. I just need them to be, and that's only because they came in the room and told the truth. Mm-hmm. Mm. They didn't come in the room and try to flex on what they was. They told us the truth. And to me, the truth will set you free, and I'm big on pushing it to people. Tell the truth. If you sucked your cousin dick till you was fucking 14, nigga, and that's what you went through, then tell the world that. Because this, if that's what you went through, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, the immaturity, no, hear me out. Hear me out. I'm going to say it.
It was a deep moment, so I let it go.
But the immaturity.
Let me hear, Jim. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, he was going somewhere.
Yeah.
But my thing is this, is that it's cool for us. Like, we grown ass men. Eddie, Paul. But if there's a kid, right, 10 years old, mm-hmm, being molested, who's like, I want to tell somebody, and then here comes one of the most famous black men in the world saying it happened to me, and everybody's like, no, nigga, what the fuck? Pause. It's like, that kid is going to feel like, I might as well just be that.
You think he waited till he got the amount of money and the success he got to say that? Well, you think he would have still said it if he was...
I actually heard it already.
Okay.
So I heard this about 4 or 5 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago.
But he didn't admit it.
I didn't hear it from him.
Okay.
I heard it. I'm in the industry. You know, you hear from circles. And bottom line is that we gotta, listen, man, like, it's hard for me too. Like, my son's 16. My son came in the room one day and he was like, yeah, you know, some hoe. And I was like, hold on. Don't talk like that. He was like, what, that? I'm like, hey, don't fucking talk like that. Don't talk like that, or don't call a woman a hoe. That's somebody's daughter. Mm-hmm. Shit that, you know, and it's like, I'm not saying don't fuck them. I'm not saying don't have fun with them.
I'm just saying,
balance.
You don't have to step on her to make you feel good about you.
Right, exactly.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want to hurt anybody or laugh at anybody's pain to feel good about mine. Mm-hmm. Like, I want, like, and especially, like, and in our world, and the black people, our biggest problem is we don't talk to each other. Mm-hmm. And not only don't we talk to each other, we don't want no one to talk. Mm-hmm. Shut up, nigga. Hey, yo, it's a black people. Shut up. It's like, dog, when do we get somewhere?
But then we complain about not being
heard. We complain about not having generational wealth. We complain about having no power. We complain about all these things. But all we got to do is be kind to each other, and we'll have it all. Mm-hmm. Think about that. If every black person in America was like, yo, Booksy or The Cut? Nigga, fuck Booksy. Everybody on the Jewish side would say fuck Booksy and go with The Cut because it's owned by someone there. Mm-hmm. If we started thinking like that, how can we support each other? How can we be kinder to each other? How can we be better to each other? Man, black people will own this world. The problem is that we hate ourselves, we hate each other, and we hate anybody trying.
We're trying.
And it's like, dog, stop that shit. So I was like, Kanye is trying right now. Hey, look, this is what happened to me. There it is. Now, when you call Jay-Z and Beyonce kids on that, now that's like unforgivable.
That was OD.
So I want to speak on that. Yeah. But I want to also say that just because he did something wrong doesn't mean that injustices didn't happen to him.
Right.
And to me, it's like, I just want to be kinder to my people, and especially, I think it'll trickle down. Like, I feel like I'm still in high school. Mm-hmm. And I hated high school.
It feels like that.
It's like you're waiting for something to happen so somebody can catch it on camera so they can mm-hmm. say, look at who the...
Yeah.
It's like, it feels like high school. And I'm trying to usher in being an adult at every moment I can. So even I might trip and laugh and I'm like, yo, listen, not that. Because it's like, there's a 10-year-old kid that might hear it and be like, I'm not telling nobody that I'm being molested now, so y'all can call and pause me to death or no homo me to death. Like, I'm trying to get out of this situation.
And odds are there are definitely kids right now that are going
odds
through
are.
It.
We know
that. We know that. Sure. We know that.
So we got to start focusing on the people who's going through it, not our disdain for the person that went through it.
But I'm going to combat that only because also your children have to see you go online and say this, right? Like, again, listen, I'm all for the truth. I think that ever since, yo, Cat Williams put the...
Yeah, he put a battery
in the back. You know what I'm saying? Put a battery in the back. He put the whatever it is. It's been happening. And I love this. I'm all about the truth.
Yeah.
But I think there's also a way to deliver it where you don't damage other people. Your little girl...
So you mean like, so with your, because the first thing I'm thinking is...
These kids are going to be like, your dad was sucking dick till 40. Yeah. Kids are cruel. Yeah. Kids are cruel.
That's the worst part about
and you can't control that.
That's what I would say, that I'll tell my kid to say to them. And my dad has accomplished more than your dad and every dad in this class ever will.
Well, that might
correct,
not be,
but...
That might not be the case. No. At his school.
This is the case.
Even if you got
100 million because you owned 100 niggas and you're a white boy. If you got 100 million, you ain't do shit.
He got it out the mud.
You ain't do shit, nigga. You just have some information. 100%. I'm talking about a nigga that actually, like, I can sing 1,000 songs that my dad has made. What can we sing that your dad has made?
Right.
What can we do that your dad has made?
But not everyone will see it that way initially. Mm-hmm. And those kids are the ones that have to go through it when they're in school.
I'm not saying that's not wrong.
Unfortunately.
But what I'm telling you is, I'm going to tell a story.
I do think that he should have told the truth, though.
I met his two brothers from the Virgin Islands, Rock City, right? They're famous because their dad told them when they was 12. Let me pull them to the side. At 12-year-old kids and said, I smoke crack. I'm a crackhead. I want y'all to know it from me first. I don't want y'all to hear from the streets that I'm a crackhead. I'm a crackhead, okay? So if anybody used that, y'all know it was me. Right. And guess what? That shit turned, that emotional vulnerability turned Teron and Timothy into a beast because they can express themselves. The problem that we have in our community is expression. That's why when we ask people to do a freestyle, what they do, OB, I got money, cars, bitches, clothes. And I'm like, nigga, you just stepped out of a cab.
Right. They're saying what they think people want to hear.
And everybody's running from the truth because they don't want to be made fun of.
Correct.
That's why Eminem 8 Mile is a great reference because, he fucked my girl. He did this. And it's like, once you stand on it, you have no more power.
Right.
So as much as we can make fun of Kanye, the one thing we don't like to do in society is address the bad shit.
Correct.
And to me, it's like, if something bad happened to you, by the way, the same thing that happened to him, it happened to his kids at that same age. So are we really protecting them or are we not? Because I want, you should say it out loud. Because most kids that it happens to it don't know it's wrong or don't feel like they should. So that's why I'm like,
I agree.
Let's give it a break. Like dog, we, our community, that's the biggest thing. Like, we, like, I'm from the Bronx, right? I don't claim it often, but I'm from Patterson Projects. I remember being in the projects and niggas laughing at each other because you don't have a video game that I have.
Right.
Or you eat free lunch. Remember, you nigga, remember free lunch in the Bronx, nigga?
Yeah.
You damn near, sneaking out like.
Matter of fact, I'll give you one better. If you went during the summer.
Yeah. Free, that's the worst.
Yeah, now what?
You are different. Poor. And
that meant that mean you ain't had no food in your house.
Right. What?
Yeah. That exposed that when you left school, half of the stuff that you were doing in school was getting you, feeding you. You know, so it's like, that's another thing.
Yes.
My point is I hated that. Being in the projects, being around people who were making fun of people. Nigga, we all broke.
Yeah,
we all poor.
Right, we in this together.
We all struggling. Why? 100%. It's like, as long as I look better than you, I'm good about myself. And that's the shit we gotta stop.
We in the same environment, the same, going through the same shit, but I don't have Jordans and you do, and now you're better than me.
Yeah, nigga, like, nigga, that shit, nigga, that was my childhood. My mother I never went to a prom. I didn't graduate. My mother was like, I'm not giving you money for that shit. I ain't got it. So of course niggas laughed.
Yeah.
Of course, nigga, I remember being in seventh grade. Nigga, I never forget Terry fucking Carswell. I say that nigga name. He's my best friend. And this nigga played me in Miss Neesmith's class.
Oh, shit.
I just moved to Georgia. My uncle's in jail. We don't have no money. And this nigga's both, Ray, best dressed in class. Ray's the best dressed. I got more clothes and money than that nigga now.
Fuck that's Terry. Now I'm sure
about Terry Carswell.
Like no, I'm just joking.
That's still my friend. But what I'm saying to y'all is that we be forgetting about the like with that famous statement, the axe forgets, the tree remembers.
I've never heard that.
I never heard that either.
That was fire. If you cut down a million trees with one axe, the axe forgot. It's like we the axe as men. We fucking women. I fucked you, my bad. But the tree remembers.
Right.
And what I'm telling you is that right now, like, and that's why I'm so vocal about it, because I can't sit back and be idle knowing there's kids suffering and we as adults feel like, it ain't me, so I don't care. It ain't my kids.
Hey, man, right,
yo, that kid might kill yours in 10 years.
Right.
Because of the pain he going through. So for me, I'm all about, like, doing good to the world, like, giving people grace, especially my people, because, oh, man, we done been through so much shit in this fucking country, man. How the fuck we laughing at each other? I'd never laugh at a nigga suffering a fall.
No, absolutely not.
Couldn't imagine that.
Whether we cool or not, I will never laugh at the next person's downfall, ever.
Well, like, when's enough, Grace? Well, what could somebody do to you to make you, want to turn the other cheek?
Okay, so.
Pause.
What's somebody that I want to turn? I don't even want to say it now because it's a pause.
I do think
there is an amount of grace, but I think it is in twice. I think it's if fool me once, it's on you. Mm-hmm. Fool me twice, it's on me. And the reason I don't feel bad for Ye for everything he's going through is because there has been not one black man that has entered one of those sisters that got into a real relationship that came out better than when they came in. Mm. Not one. Lamar Odom was an all-star, I mean, an NBA champion, and now he was went to a crackhead.
Nah, but he was a crackhead before Chloe. Hey. No disrespect.
His family was crackheads. He might not have been.
Right.
How do you know?
Because I let me tell you why.
He might have.
Let me tell you why.
He could still been on crack.
Nah. Let me say something. We don't act like who we interact with matters.
Mm-hmm. It does.
We if a nigga is about, if me and you broke, fucked up, we got one gun between us, nigga, let's go rob somebody. Okay, let's go. Man, let me talk to my pastor first, see what he thinks. Nigga, what you think my pastor gonna say? Be safe. Not that's what I say. No, there's other ways to get your money.
Yes.
That's what we need. Y'all want to sell dope. If you can sell dope, you can sell liquor. If you can sell dope, you can sell a hat.
Right.
It's like we teaching us, like, dog, in high school, the one thing I was known for was talking. Now I get paid to talk. What would they tell you in high school to do?
Shut up.
Right. So they training me to go be a slave. Nah, I'm going to free myself. So for me, I'm all about like freeing the minds about people saying, yo, fuck the environment you in. You surrounded by a whole bunch of losers anyway. It's not just being honest. Mm-hmm. You surrounded by a whole bunch of losers anyway. Because the motherfucker that's trying is not going to make fun of you. The motherfucker that's trying is not going to do any of that thing because they trying. Nigga, I'm trying. Nigga, every podcast I go to, I'm looking at the setup and shit. I'm like, I'm trying to figure it out. Like, that's what it's about. It's about trying to figure out what you do. But that's what it's about. It's about trying to figure out where your space is. And then to me, in the midst of the noise, in the midst of the Jordans, in the midst of feeling like I need this, I want to be the one successful voice saying, you don't need none of that shit.
Right.
That's bullshit. Like, who said it? Kanye. Kanye was one of the first people that gave me confidence about where I was in life. Mm-hmm. When he said, it seems we live in the American dream, but the people high, like I was a low person.
The lowest self-esteem.
I was a low person. So for me, hearing somebody up there saying, yo, the people, they got the lowest self-esteem. That shit made me feel kind of good about myself. Like, yes. So for me, it's like, I got to give him grace because he gave me something. And if you gave me something, I'll never turn on you.
That's
like, right. I'll never turn on you if you help me at one point. Now, mind you, I might not fuck with you.
I might not like you, but I won't turn.
I won't speak against you. I won't talk.
But that doesn't mean I don't agree with everything you've done, or I agree with everything you've done. I'm supporting.
Yeah, same here.
It's a line, because I think people confuse loyalty with that. Like,
yeah.
Loyalty is me knowing that you did this for me, and you have forever have a place in my heart, but it don't mean I agree with every decision that you make.
That's right.
And my problem is it's okay to not agree. It's 10 people in here, there's nothing in the world that we're all going to be lined up 100% with. That's just the way the world works. So it's not about agreeing. It's about not disrespecting each other when you don't agree.
We were having that conversation.
So it's like, if Obi says something I don't like, and I'm like, I don't believe that, right? I could be easy. I don't like that. I don't agree with that. But if Obi says something like, show them fucking ugly boots on, nigga. Of course, you know what the fuck do you know, DC, nigga? Now I just attacked you, right?
Yeah,
it's
like, it's personal.
So for me, that's my problem. What I'm saying, like, say you don't like, it's like the game and Ye. Friends.
Right.
Friends, love each other. Soon as Ye say, I'm let down by the game, hick of the game, pussy ass nigga. You can't talk like that about me and think we friends tomorrow.
Absolutely not.
Nigga, you call me a pussy.
You cross the line of respect.
That's my point.
So you got to agree with what I said about you, but it's a way
I respect you, don't just outlandish.
Or call me.
Call me, right.
But nigga, to go and lie and say, yo, pussy ass nigga, fuck you. It's like, dog, what are we doing to each other?
I ain't taking no disrespect.
We're acting like the kids that we're raising.
Right.
And then wondering why they not acting like fucking kids. Not adults. That's what we're doing. I'm sorry.
The one black guy that did win, the one that's fucking the mother, he won.
Corey.
I like him.
Corey. Yeah, I don't,
he won.
He's the mother?
The one that's the mother.
I went to middle school with
Chris.
Oh.
Corey Gamble.
Yeah, he won.
Yeah, but
he won.
He won because he's still there.
Right.
Oh, we said Chris, no one leaves.
Yeah.
He probably smart one to understand. I'm not going nowhere.
Yeah. He gotta stay. All right, my bad, Corey.
He gotta stay.
I need to find out what they did.
Stay there, beloved.
He got a 360. It's crazy.
Well, hold on. Where do I sign out?
Do what you gotta do.
So when you leave me, you're worse.
Yeah. You want Rob?
Huh?
You gonna take Rob?
No.
Unless you don't.
No. Whatever potion they have, I'd rather just go that
way. But that's my point. Yeah, you knew what it was. You knew. You actually bragged on it. My girl is famous from a sex tape. You had kids with him, my nigga. Let me tell y'all something. I'm not acting like there ain't no leak shit about me out online. But I'd be damned if I'm pushing it and selling it. Like, come see my dick, everybody. It's out there. What I'm saying is that they saw opportunity. Like, I put like this. If that was my daughter, we killing this tape.
Right. Yeah, of course.
But
the mother
knew what it was because the apple don't fall too far for the tree.
Nobody talks about that, though.
What? That was a hell of a tape, though.
Nobody talks about that.
I get to see it.
For that to even come out, somebody signed off on that. Nobody ever talks about that.
Well, I don't think someone signed off on it.
It's the truth. That's the truth.
Ray J's a legend, or to continue to get pushed.
No. For you to make money off of it.
Correct.
You had to sign off on it.
You don't think it was? You don't think it was like Mimi shower curtain vibes? Like didn't
they
know.
Signed off on that.
And then all of a sudden.
No, they signed off on that. That was a production.
Mimi and them is like the project.
That was a production.
I try to see the good people.
Listen, I'm just trying to get us to a place where we live in a world now where I'm telling y'all now there are little girls in high school. By the way, I'm not worried about nobody in this room. Everybody in this motherfucker grown. We all smart about it. I'm worried about the kids who are fucked up. But I guarantee you there's little girls in high school right now that's like, man, I can't wait till I turn 18 to get me an OnlyFans. Guarantee you.
18? That's late.
How much they make on OnlyFans.
They might only
And that's the problem. Because it's a lot of money too fast and too quick.
But bro,
and
it's the wrong...
And escorting too.
It's the wrong... Huh?
No, since we get into the nitty-gritty... No.
Oh, no,
I said too much?
She said, I love it.
Now I said too much?
I said that part
too. Let's slide into escorting.
I don't know escorting.
No, well, I don't think I know them, but I have heard...
I don't know this story either.
I'm just saying that we have this going on, and to your point, right? We have the escorting, the OnlyFans, all this, and you see these girls, right? They don't necessarily say that's what they're doing,
but
you see them on social media popping up, you know, with the lifestyle in Dubai. But
I just came back from Dubai.
Not saying that's what you did.
No, I didn't.
But people talk all the time about.
You know what I heard? I heard this. I'm sorry, I gotta say this. Speaking of escorts, I did hear this stuff.
I heard that the men in Dubai, because I went to Dubai,
they don't play that shit. Dubai is what the world would be like if God was in charge.
Okay.
No, nigga, that's why there's no crime, no nothing. It's no, you can leave a bag with 10 million on the floor in the middle of the mall, that shit will be there when you come back. Because it's a smart city, so they can find anybody in 12
minutes. But also, it's like a culture in the city. Like,
they know God first.
If anybody does anything wrong, like, it's like a community shit. Like, you all, like,
God
like,
first. But
back to the escorts.
They told me that the rich men in Dubai, they love their wives, so they don't disrespect them, so they fly the escorts from America, and that's when they shit on them over
disrespect
there.
Them.
And they, like, actually shit on them and disrespect them. That's what them girls is going over there, get 100,000, get shit on.
Let me tell you something. Ain't no diarrhea in the world.
Something wrong with escorts?
The problem is, listen, Jim, it's not about having problem with escorts. It's about that a lot of women flaunt these lifestyles for the younger generation to see. And these girls aspire to be that, but they don't know what it took to get that.
These women
are doing something strange for a piece of change, and are flaunting it as if it was just easy. So I'll be honest with you.
Shout out to them. I don't really judge women that do that, because I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm gonna ask you a question, Jim. Are you single or married? Let's say if you were single. Let's act like you're single. If you were single and there were like 10 women out here who was looking to pay you $1,000 a night to come please them.
I'm going.
Nigga, I'm gonna take the money home to my lady.
I'm doing it if I ain't single.
No, but Ray, but to your point, you're out here talking about how these young girls are reaching a certain age, and the aspiration is to do an OnlyFans. And listen, I'm not judging women who do. Look, do what you do, but don't come out here acting like you busted your ass to get this because
you didn't.
And there are women.
I just said I asked Jim
that a bust they ass every day.
I'd rather pay and get it out of the way than be messing with a broad all this time and you spending the money anyway and you don't want to fuck with her.
I get that.
Let's get this shit out of the way first night.
I'm just saying because you're from the Bronx.
And we both got a girl.
I asked Jim the question. I asked Jim the question because I'm assuming that if he's a man like me, that the what you're paying me, I was willing to do anyway. So you got like I'm saying, do something that goes against my morals. That's different.
Right, but it's different for men and women anyway.
$1,000 to do it every time.
But let's recognize it's different for men and women. Let's recognize that because every time we talk about let me finish. Yeah. Because this is King Double Standard over here. Let me finish.
Everybody is King Double Standard. I promise you.
Exactly. So all of y'all are double standards. So don't come over here and say, well, it's the same. No, it's not. Because what it's okay for a man to do is not okay for a woman to do.
It's not. It's not.
As per society. So let's not ask.
Per society, correct.
Okay.
And a lot of y'all.
If you were to speak to some of them, those escorts, you know what they say? Well, at least I'm getting paid for it because there's girls who do it don't even get paid for it.
Right.
So that's a whole argument that they have in the communities.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
You hate that's double standard. You don't believe?
That's what they have. That's the argument.
I'm not
paid for it.
I'm not a fan of double standards. I'm not a fan of double standards. Listen, I'm not a fan of the double standards, but I get it.
Deontay, if you raise your son, you're going to tell him different things than you tell your daughter.
That's 100%. A fact. That's 100%
so instead 100%. Of us focusing on the double standards.
Even my brother and sister, like there's certain things he does.
That they exist. That is, listen, let me tell you something.
But that's why I'm hit saying that situation is different.
Listen, I got a dog. He's mean.
Oh, what kind of
watch
dog
this.
Is he?
I got a dog. Now I'm making it up. Making up a speaking hypothetical. I got a dog. He's mean as fuck. He barks at people. He might bite you. And you're like, okay, what kind of dog is? Chihuahua. Get your bitch ass out of here. That nigga a Rottweiler. Don't bring that nigga in here.
Right.
So we got to stop acting like what it is doesn't matter to what you're doing.
That's my point.
I'm with you.
So, of course, y'all are going to be okay. Oh, I was going to do that anyway. Yes, you were going to do it anyway, but a woman probably wasn't going to do it anyway, but...
But...
And again, I'm not found out.
And if she does it, she's a whore.
Thank you. That's all I'm trying to get to. If she does it...
I tell them there's another way. I tell them, listen, you can start your own brand.
Oh, you mean the strip club? Like, maybe I can take you out of here.
Nah, that's pillow talking. You can't do that.
Maybe I can take you away from all of this.
It's a different way, because I've seen people come from nothing and go to something and create billion-dollar brands without having to design anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I know if you think hard enough, you can create something and look what Obi's doing.
That's yeah.
Like,
it's just
not everyone.
He's recreating an industry that already exists, but he's turning it and doing something different. And that's what you can do if you think hard enough. So I try to have that conversation rather than.
Have you used the app, bro? Have you used it yourself? Like, do you go to different cities?
That's the only way I book my barber. Like whenever I travel for work, I immediately get to the city and touch down, see what barbers in the city, and I book with them.
A nigga ever fuck you up, and you like, nigga.
I've been fucked up before, but like, yeah, you mean, roll the punches. Because like, I'm the type that I'll also try out like a barber who may not be the best, only because I got to see. Because I want to see the full experience and like...
Why, do you invite them to get on the app? Is that what you do?
So if they're on the app, I'll book with a random barber in the city. Like, if all the best barbers are booked, I'll book with somebody else who's not the best, but just like, let me see how you act. Yeah. Like, sometimes, like, you know, your fade might not be the sharpest and the cleanest or the blurriest, but, like, it's a great conversation. You're a good conversationalist. Like, you might do, like, aromatherapy. Like, there's some other, like, benefits of booking with you. So, like, I'll try different barbers, but yes, I've been fucked up before. When that does happen,
I can't afford to be fucked
up. It's rough. You know what I mean? I throw a hat on for the next 2 weeks. I go back and see my main guy, and he's like, "The fuck, what happened?"
Yeah.
And I was like,
"I cheated."
So how is it? So can you get barbers? Like, say I got a barber that's he's fire.
Yeah.
Can I give you my barber, and then when people land in New York, you be like, "Yo, go over there."
Absolutely. So like, if you have a barber who's fire, you want to share him with people. You can refer. You can send that barber's link to all your friends, right?
Pause. I don't want to share anybody.
So you can refer your barber to all your mans if you think he is fired.
Right,
this is so like to get you out of the way. But yeah, no, I think
I get it.
Like, I don't want you coming with bullshit. I'll stop. This nigga is so good at it. He can catch it.
Yo, you and Dave Dash have a battle. Like, what? Pause.
Yeah.
All right, that's cool. That's dope.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, that's dope. How much is it like on the app?
So as a barber, they pay like a monthly fee just like to manage their business, right? But then as a customer, it's free. Like it's free for us to download the app, to look for a barber, to book a barber. You only pay when you pay your barber. Just like you want to pay your barber in the app. That's the only time you have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's fine.
Yeah, free to download, free to use.
That's fine.
One thing I want to say: people kind of try to shit on people who become barbers a little bit. Like, I don't know.
I love barber. My barber always got money.
Right, but. Always. When you hear it, like, and maybe not us, because we use them, we understand what we're paying them, but most of the time, the other side of the world looks at it like, he's a barber, like, he's not really, barbers make money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
$200 a day is $6,000 a month. My barber making $400-$500 a day, for sure.
We got barbers making over $100-$150 grand
a year.
Like, barbering, there's plenty of money to be made in barbering as long as you build a brand. Like, you gotta, like, care about this shit. Like, you can't just, like, pull up, like, be half-assing all day, be on your phone, not taking any clients. You're not gonna make the money. You serious about this shit?
Superstar thing.
You know what I mean? You're a superstar. The best, like, you gotta be the best if you wanna be the best, right? And so, like, you go into the shop, you put in the time, the hours, you there all day, you talking to clients, you putting boots on the ground, like, you really perfecting your cut, you gonna make that money. And then you start upping your price. And, like, the way that most barbers get to the point that they start pricing their clientele and they build a clientele 20, 30, 40, 50, 60.
What's the most you ever pay for a haircut?
For me?
maybe 100, 150.
No, I lied to you. That's like, I paid 100, I paid 175 of a house call. Just regular me going to a shop, probably like 80 to 90.
Yeah, LA shit.
But that was because, like, no, wait, LA shit, and also, like, I was trying to book, like, after hours. Like, I don't feel right paying more than, like, 40 or 50.
Yeah.
But, like, I will because, again, now it's more than just a haircut. Like, when I go in there, they're doing hot towel.
Yeah.
Some of these barbers are doing aromatherapy. So it's, like, more of a spa treatment. It's not just, like, I'm getting a taper in my season, I'm heading out the shop, right? Right. Now you're getting a little bit more experience. Of a pampered experience. Yeah. And so, yeah, you got to pay a little bit more for that. And it's worth it. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Y'all barbers, they pulled it down.
I love it.
Right, we also help barbers get health insurance as well. So it's kind of go back to the music side of it, to where it's like nobody cares about the artist anymore. Like, we care about the barbers.
Oh, right? That's incredible.
Like, we have health insurance. We have seminars. We teach them how to, like, actually get
tax plans,
how to get a shop. Like, we try to prepare them for the future because at the end of the day, no one, they're kind of forgotten about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
So it's like, how can we help them? Especially with tax prep, you know, if you have your transaction set up through our app, it's easy to kind of go back and look at what taxes. You made and be able to file your taxes.
Because so it's the music, when it's an industry where you just get all that money coming in and nobody's telling you how to take care of that shit on the back end, and then here come April come around, now Uncle Sam is knocking on your door, now what, right? And so our whole thing is like, how do we help barbers prepare along the way? It's not just the app, it's a platform, right? It's like, how do we impact every aspect of their career to make sure that they can be the barber that they want to be?
Have you ever thought about, go ahead.
No, I was saying, is it like hairstylists too, or is it just barbers?
Yes.
I was just going to say, are you going to do like a female version? Because females, we need that.
Exactly. So for like the cut specifically, we want to keep specifically for barbers. That's how we built the brand today, and that's what's helped us, right? Because as a customer, we all know the cut is where I can find barbers. Versus some of the other apps that are more like, they have beauticians and stuff like that.
Nail techs.
And then you'll see like a bunch of women, and it's harder to find a barber. So the cut will always be for barbers. Have we talked about the female side? Yes. That will probably happen in a couple of years, but it's definitely something we've talked about.
Yeah.
And but we do today, though, we'll have lacticians on the app today. We do have some stylists. Hell, we even have like tattoo artists and like fucking car wash.
Really?
We've got a car wash nigga on the app before. Because it means appointment scheduling. So like, you know, you just use the app to set up a schedule and, you know, people are booking them. So.
Yeah, like, I like appointments. I don't want to sit there and wait.
Who's controlling the price?
The barbers. It's all whatever the barber says. And you pick your barber based on a price. So if one barber's charging $100 a haircut, you can go to him, or you can go to somebody who's charging $20. Up to you.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. Customer choice has been the biggest thing. Because, like, our whole thing was, like, when we came into it as a customer, like, me and my co-founder, we're not barbers. But, like, we hated just, like, the opaqueness that exists in something going to a barbershop. You know, you walk in, you don't know what the haircut costs. You don't know when barbers are free.
You know who's good.
You don't know who's good, right? So we just want to, like, get rid of all that mystery.
Wait, do you have reviews on there?
Of course.
Okay.
Reviews, the service price, how long it's going to take. We want to make sure you know everything you need to know about this barber before you decide.
Stars and stuff.
Everything.
Okay.
So you know exactly who you're going to see before you see that chair.
That's fine. You going to work on more cities, or you going to keep it where it's at?
So right now, we're nationwide. We got barbers everywhere. I think the weakest states and cities, like Wisconsin. Like, that little Midwest area, North Dakota,
South
Dakota.
I've never been to Wisconsin.
But, like, yeah, Chicago we live, New York, Atlanta. Like, our best market is Houston.
Interesting.
Yeah, our best market is Houston, so, yeah.
Houston is fine.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to Texas. Everything's bigger down there, you know?
Pause.
I knew it. I was waiting.
I'm pointing at him, like, go ahead.
I was waiting
for that. I'm our presence in the city. But, yeah.
Off-topic question, because I had this debate.
Go ahead.
Is Dolce hip-hop?
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't think she is.
What do you think she is, though?
I think she's gearing more towards Doja Cat popish, in my opinion.
Doja Cat is
more interesting. I don't think she is.
No, Doja Cat, as much as she doesn't want to
be. She can rap, but she's not rap.
As much as she doesn't want to be, she's a rapper.
100%. I don't see her as a rapper.
She can rap, but she's a pop star. Right?
I think that's what I'm saying. She can rap, but she is a pop star.
You know how you know she's a pop star?
There's a difference.
I want to tell you this. Can I tell you this? We've worked with everybody.
Uh-huh.
There's only two females that I know that I've worked in the studio with or we've made records for that I know they wrote their verses. Mm-hmm. That's Nicki,
mm-hmm.
Rhapsody,
mm-hmm.
and Doja. Yeah.
Now she's nice.
You can't you didn't know the record we did on. We did the record Don't Play My Pussy, Play My Emotions. Nigga, that bitch is incredible. The problem with Doja now, you can say she's not black. You could say she's not black.
Oh, no, I wouldn't.
But if Eminem is rap, So is she. She's just not rap culture, because she don't like niggas. She don't fuck with niggas like that.
I got a question for you.
She don't like it.
Remember the artist Pink? Pink.
Yeah.
Would you say she was an R&B artist or a pop?
She was.
R&B? But what is she known for? She was an R&B artist.
No. Oh, she was known. She went platinum.
Pink hair, Pink.
Yes.
For pop star.
Her name was Pink, and she had a song called There You Go.
She started
urban. And then she, L.A. Soul LaFace, took over Arista, and then she made that album that was rock. And she addressed it, though. L.A. told me, you'll be a pop star. All you got to do is change everything
so
that you are.
So that's not Doja Cat?
No. Because...
The sound?
No. Pink is actually rock now, and she was R&B. Doja Cat is a rapper. She just doesn't act like one. She don't want to be around niggas like that. But she, listen.
I don't know. I don't feel.
That's
I
like
think
Lauren.
Pop,
so what's Lauren? Lauren's a rapper.
Lauren's a rapper.
A rapper. I'm saying Doja Cat.
Who can't sing?
Who can't sing?
She don't fuck with us like that. But that doesn't mean that she's not rap. She don't like niggas.
I don't know. I disagree. So Doja, Doja's another one. I think she's dope. Listen, she's talented. She's dope. But like even when I did her interview for the freshman cover, but I ended up leaving Double XL before that cover came out.
Okay, Flex.
So. Flex, like, it's a little. No, but so when I did have that meeting, I was like, you know, she's dope. She's very talented. I just don't think she's a rapper.
Well, I think that what we have to do is kind of what we've been talking about a lot is we have to start allowing the genre to grow, like mm-hmm. like. You have soft rock, yacht rock,
heavy metal.
Yeah. But it has grown because we have subgenres now in hip hop.
Name them.
That emo rap.
Drill rap.
No, we do. No. R&B rap.
I got it.
But
because it's my baby, I got it. Let me tell you something.
I'm just
what
saying.
We're
talking about it like
soft rock. That is an actual chart. Right. Hard rock. That's a chart. Alternative rock.
That
that's a chart.
Okay, that part.
Emo rap is not a chart. Playboy Cardi is competing
not
with
officially.
Too short.
That part.
It's like they bunch every nigga together. Right. Might they let everybody else define what they want to be. But oh, you rap, you that. And that's probably why I think Doja Cat doesn't want to be rap. But that don't mean she ain't rap.
But that's mainstream shit. In our culture, we know the difference.
What you mean?
Like mainstream, yeah, everyone's just rap. But in our culture, like we've had these conversations. Like yeah. There's emo rap. There's SoundCloud rap. There's melodic rap. There are different subgenres. It's just that the mainstream public just... like everything else when it comes to hip-hop, they're late on it, so they're not acknowledging it. Okay. But we do have those conversations in hip-hop, and there are subgenres.
What's drill? It's not...
It's a subgenre.
No, but it's not a chart. It's yeah, not... I'm yeah. number one on...
Not
drill.
Yet.
She's more just saying yeah.
No,
she's
but,
just saying yeah.
But what I'm telling you is why are we still... Hip hop started in 1972. The first Grammy was given out in 2080. I mean 1989. The first Grammy was getting out. Why are we still all being bunched together?
I agree.
And it's because we don't control the charts. We don't control how it goes. Rap needs an alternative rock hip hop.
Yes.
You need a adult hip hop.
Yes.
You need a melodic hip hop. All these charts.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
We don't need niggas that get put. We don't need people that get bunched up on the same chart.
That's true. Maybe one day it'll change. Let's start the movement.
It starts with us.
It does start with us. It always does.
I'm going on that app. I want to let somebody give me a haircut.
Yeah, bro, download that.
You going to try
you.
It?
We got some fire barbers right here.
You going to try and then come back on the next episode and talk about it?
My barber been cutting my hair since 7th grade. I'm going
to
try.
Honestly, you should get your barber on it. I don't even really want you to change your barber.
My barber tough.
So let me ask you a question. Better. Hold on. How do you book your appointment with your barber right now?
I walk in that motherfucker.
You walk in.
I like to chill, though. So for me, if I'm in a rush, I'll text him ahead of time. Yo, bro, I'm in a rush. I got to do something. And he'll skip me.
Right.
But I like to go to the barbershop and chill and watch TV.
So imagine the person that just got skipped.
I don't give a fuck. I got seniority in this motherfucker.
I understand. But with the app, you kind of avoid that. So you can still go early.
I booked my
appointment. But your appointment is at 3:30. So you can still go early if you want and chill because you like to chill.
It
but
holds
you know
you.
At 3:30, you in that chair.
If somebody booked on y'all app to my barber and I get there and they in the chair or they next, I'm going to skip.
I don't like people like
See?
You.
My barber's going to skip
mistake.
Me.
Like, excuse See? Me. Like,
I
no.
respect it, but I hate it.
Like, shit.
He going to skip me.
I got
That's not nice.
Too, I understand.
He going to skip me.
I understand 100%.
That's not nice.
Because I probably bought him 100 customers since I've been going. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if a nigga land, if it's a rap
so
or
now,
something, I bring him to my barber.
Bring him 100 more.
Yeah, I'm a definitely, for sure. That's fire.
Now you got super privileges, like you diamond in that. So you was gold before.
I walk in my barber shop, dead broke, like I ain't got it today. He still be like, "See me later."
Oh, You don't gotta have it no
he's
more.
He's a liar. He ain't never broke. Anyway, he's lying. Anyway.
When he said he's going up since seventh grade, so I could have been eighth grade.
Seven.
Well, he was just if. He was saying if.
I'll be broke sometimes.
Sure. He's a liar. you're a liar. First of all, I was gonna say, oh my God, he has all black Air Forces. But excuse me, I saw the LV. See, I know, I was like, I was scared.
Nah,
I was scared. I was like, what is happening with the black Air Force? I got to be on point.
But you got to be careful. Some of the black Air Force say Supreme in the back.
But even then,
they might say Supreme on the back.
So we got
to
let it go.
It's the stigma.
Yeah, yeah, I don't wear them. But some of them, I tried to tease a nigga one time, and it's just said Supreme on the back.
It's been that way forever, but I feel like social media has made it popular.
Super juxy.
Yeah, I mean.
It is. Yeah. But that's not what I wanted, huh?
Yeah, no.
I wanted to talk about digital marketing with you.
Oh, man, what are we doing? Mm.
So how long have you been doing digital marketing?
Almost 10 years now.
10 years?
Yeah, about 10 years. I started with Caswell Harlem, the artist I worked with.
Okay.
And ended up managing, and then that led to working with Cardi B before she was on Love & Hip Hop, before she even did music.
Okay.
So that's how I got into digital marketing, and the first thing I learned was how to make money on the internet.
Hmm.
So once I learned how you actually make money on the internet, that's when I felt like I got into my bag, and I ended up making bags. And that's how I was able to help Cardi and everyone else make money off of on Facebook at that time.
Hmm. So Meta ads.
This is before Meta ads. Meta didn't even have a platform really for ads like that. Like this, I'm talking about like creating blog articles and the same way kind of Shade Room and TMZ and remember that other one? It was Media Takeout.
Yes.
This was around that time, 2015, 2016. And I learned that every impression is worth something. So every pair of eyeballs that lands on a page is equal to some type of dollar amount that somebody is making.
The impressions?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Somebody's making money
somewhere. I know what they're saying.
Right? So I learned that, and that's what led me into digital marketing and advertising, and ended up working with CoverGirl and Fashion Nova and a bunch of other brands, and now I'm with The Cut.
What can you suggest? And I know you guys have to go, so I just want to know, what can you suggest to artists? Because I find, because I also do publicity, and I find that I get a lot of artists that come to me for publicity, and I have integrity. So it's like, I can look at you and know, look, people aren't going to cover you. I look at your numbers. I look at everything. And they're not going to cover you. I know why. Because I'm coming from a media standpoint. Mm-hmm. So I refuse the check. I won't take it, because you're never going to say, I gave her the X, Y, and Z. She didn't deliver ever.
I want the money until I know I could. I want the money 100%. Until I know
it's
good.
I can't deliver,
yeah. Yeah. Like integrity.
Right.
But I do tell them you should work on your marketing, right?
Yes.
So what would, so let's say an artist comes brand new, you know, has a little bit of steam going, but they want to get to the next level. So what would you suggest to them? What is that step before they seek publicity? How should they market themselves using digital marketing?
So shout out to my guy, Jens. He actually does this. Jens the Guru. But what I would suggest is if you have a little bit of steam, you have a budget, you have a video out, and Ray probably going to look at me a little crazy because he but I would say that you should start running YouTube ads and Meta ads. That would be like the first approach. The reason why is because you could target exactly who you want. The same way Ray took that A Boogie and put him on the table and said what kind of shoes does he wear, you can literally type in what type of shoes does people wear, what type of clothes do they wear, what type of shows do they watch, what type of movies do they watch, who's their favorite actor, what is their lifestyle like, right? You could take those characteristics and then you could target people based off that. And on YouTube, you could literally have your video being in being featured on certain playlists. So if you rap like Lil Yachty, then you want all the rappers who rap like you get Lil Yachty, that's who you want to target. So that your music appears, and when it's searched and when it's being played on the playlist, you pop up, and now you're able to gain some fans, you're able to gain some views from that. Mm-hmm. That's what I would tell the artist. On the other side, I also tell the artist, start your own brand. Because these brands are going to come and give you brand deals and say, hey, his 5,000, his 10,000, if you're big, they're going to give you his 100,000, his 200,000, but they're going to make 2 million off you. Off that post that you're going to do, because they're going to run ads on the back end. So I would say, whatever brands are coming to you that you like, start your own brand, find a supplier for that, start that brand, and start your own e-commerce store. Go on Shopify and start that. And I actually started a program for kids in high schools, teaching them how to do that. So.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What's it called? And
so it's called the Mogul Academy. I go by Eddie Mogul. It's called the Mogul Academy, and I'm teaching kids in high school. I have a Bronx high school called Low Government and Justice. I'm teaching the 10th and 11th graders how to build their own e-commerce website. So they're literally starting from scratch. They're building their business plans. They're figuring out who their target audience is. They're finding suppliers the same way that any other store online would find suppliers, whether it's Alibaba, AliExpress, whatever the case is. they'll find suppliers, they're branded, and then they'll also be able to learn marketing, advertising, and everything they need to be successful.
Mm-hmm. And really quickly, when you say, because I know you can target on Meta ads, very yes. specific, yes. but YouTube, from what I know of, you can't get specific. That's Google ads, isn't it?
So it's
that'll Google, show up on YouTube?
Well, YouTube is owned by Google.
Right.
So it's the same as you're doing Google ads. They have affinity audiences, which is pretty much they group everyone together if you are into, based on what you're into. So if you're someone who's like a beauty enthusiast, right, you'll be in that affinity. But they also have a way for you to target certain YouTube channels, which is a strategy that we've used. And then you can also target certain certain types of genres of music also. So that's another way you can go about it. So I would just group together all the YouTube channels that sound like me or sound I have a similar style sound and have a similar type of playlist that I want to be fit in. And that's who I would target. And then from there, you start to get the analytics and learn. But it's a learning process. It's not a 1-2-3 process. Mm-hmm. It's not something you're going to put $10 in and become a right. millionaire off of. It's something that you have to continually work at.
All right. And, now, and you're taking clients?
No. Right now, my focus on
okay, no, 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 it's okay. So it's, I was just trying to get you a shout out.
And the
okay.
kids, I appreciate it.
Okay, good.
I do have a course where I teach people how to run ads. But
okay.
right now, I'm just kind of locked in on what I'm doing right now.
Okay,
we got something great we're building with off the top, so I can't distract my you know myself from that.
I hear you.
I was going to say, like, to your point around, like, artistry, I feel like to add on to everything Eddie just said, like, building that audience and community is probably the biggest thing you can do as an artist with some momentum because with that, you can do so much. You build that community of people, like Eddie mentioned with the writing ads. One of these platforms, you can create things called lookalike audiences.
Right.
So if you have email addresses, phone numbers, you can, of your existing audience, now these platforms are going to find all the people out in the world who act and behave just like the people in your audience. So that now amplifies the work you're doing. And then when you want to sell to them in the future, once you have your brand, now you have an email list of people to sell to. So definitely want to build that audience and like that community email list as soon as you can as an artist is fine.
You've been doing digital marketing too, I see.
The last thing I want to say is these platforms know everything about us. They know what we like,
sure
what we don't like. They know.
Thanks to cookies.
Look at your explore page. It's a reflection of you, as Ray said like last week. It's a reflection of you, right? So everything you like, you don't like, what you interact with, what you watch, they know how long you watch it, they know how much time you spend on it, they know what friends you sent it to, so they know what those friends like. They know everything about us. They know how many kids you got. They know whether you have kids or not, whether you're married or single. Mm-hmm. They know so much about us, and we have to use that in order to start our brands, in order to start to being able to target who we want, whether you're in music or you're starting a, or you're an entrepreneur starting a brand.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to holler at y'all later, though, because I got a couple of questions for myself. You know, I've been doing digital marketing too. But thank you all for coming.
Thank you for having us.
It was a great conversation.
Likewise.
Yo, tell me, where's my camera? Self, I want my Air Hot Max. Every time I see him, I'm going to tell that to me. 80 years old. Where my Mac? Where my AirPods at?
We're going to clip this up specifically.
I got him.
Wait, can we bring the winner? Can we?
Huh?
Can we bring the winner up here?
The what?
The winner of the contest. Can
you
you
can.
First?
Yeah.
So now we're going to
What are you going to... Wait. So when is this happening?
So the winner...
Next month?
Yep. First week of May.
Yep. Okay, so you guys are going to different states.
We're going to D.C. next week and then Atlanta, and then we're going to pick our winner.
Okay, and, whoever wins, and y'all going to come back?
Come here. Yeah.
When y'all going to Atlanta?
Oh, okay.
I want to go.
May 4th will be in Atlanta.
Yep.
Cinco de Mayo weekend.
Oh, I'm gonna be in Atlanta too, but not around that. You gonna be in Atlanta around that time?
I'm gonna make sure I'm in Atlanta.
Anyways, all right. Well, yeah. When you have your winner come back, you guys are always welcome.
Thank you.
You know how we do.
But we want to show the winner that they're welcome. It's important, you know. Like this person is looking at everybody on YouTube and saying, "Man, if I could just get there." Like now, right. The cut. Not only just we just gave them $10,000. Now we give them a chance performing on your platform, like, you know,
wow.
Like, come and we talk about the story. Like.
Oh, you want to do a performance?
Well, the verse, it's a verse, it's 90 seconds, we might as well, we gonna be here.
We got a little setup up our sleeve, we're gonna start doing performances here, actually.
Okay, alright, there you go.
We are working on
Let us push in the spot,
please.
Alright, let's talk.
Thank you.
Alright. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you
so much.